Good afternoon and welcome to the Minnesota House of Representatives Transportation Finance and Policy Committee for this Friday, March 12th, special Friday edition. We have a number of bills before us. Our first item of business is going to be taking the roll for the purposes of establishing a quorum. Mr. Dodge.
Chair Hornstein.
Present.
Hornstein, present. Vice Chair Cagle.
Present.
Cagle, present. Representative Petersburg.
Present.
Petersburg, present. Representative Barr is excused. Representative Bernardi.
Present.
Bernardi, present. Representative Elkins.
Present.
Elkins, present. Representative Frederick.
Present.
Frederick, present. Representative Hausman.
Present.
Hausman, present. Representative Heinrich.
Present.
Heinrich, present. Representative Kosmic.
Present.
Kosmic, present. Representative Mason. Representative Mason. Representative Murphy.
Murphy, present.
Murphy, present. Representative Nelson.
Nelson, present.
Nelson, present. Representative Olson.
Present.
Olson, present. Representative Richardson. Representative Richardson.
Present.
Richardson, present. Representative Torkelson.
Present.
Torkelson, present. Representative West.
Present.
West, present. Representative Mason.
Present.
Mason, present. There is a quorum.
Thank you, Mr. Dodge. So we have a quorum, and our next item of business will be to approve our minutes from yesterday, Thursday, March 11th. Do we have those minutes, Representative Petersburg?
Yes, we do.
Wonderful. Well, is there a motion?
I move the minutes of the March 11th meeting.
The minutes for March 11th are moved. Is there discussion? Seeing none, voice vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the motion prevails. Members, our first bill today is House File 927 from Vice Chair Cagle. And Representative Cagle, if you wanted to move your bill, I believe you're going to Judiciary, Finance, and Civil Law.
Correct. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I'd like to move that House File 927 be recommended to pass and move to Judiciary and Civil Law. Judiciary, yep. Finance, and Civil Law Committee.
Yes. So moved. And please tell us about your bill. And if there is an author's amendment, we can either take that now or here after your bill presentation. Maybe we should incorporate that now.
Sure, there is. I move the A1 amendment, and just wanted to make sure. I know it kind of came in under deadline. Wanted to make sure everybody was okay with that amendment.
I think we've talked to Representative Petersburg ahead of time, and just to affirm that you're okay with that, we're waiving a 24-hour rule here.
My understanding is it's pretty much more technical in nature and clarification rather than substantive. So that's
yeah,
fine.
Exactly, Representative Petersburg. It's to match up with some Senate language here. So so good. Well, then we can take up that amendment, the A1 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the original version of the bill allows manufactured homeowners to have DVS cancel their title by written request. This amendment limits that option to situations where the certificate of title has been lost, destroyed, or becomes ineligible. Homeowners who are in possession of the original title must still send that title to DVS. This amendment was made after additional consultation from manufactured home industries and DPS.
Is there discussion to the A1 amendment, members? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, The A1 amendment is adopted. So to the bill as amended, Vice Chair Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. So House File 927 is follow-up legislation that was signed into law in 2017 that addresses a number of issues with manufactured home titles. Titling of manufactured homes is complicated because the law by default treats these homes as personal property similar to that of a car. There is, however, a process that in law that manufactured homeowners can go through to make their home real property. And this bill seeks to simplify that process for both the homeowner and the Department of Public Safety and Driver Vehicle Services, along with making some other clarifying changes. There's a number of stakeholders with interest in this topic that have been working on this language, including the Minnesota Realtors, Minnesota Land Title Association, Minnesota Manufactured and Module Homes Association, Minnesota Bank Association, Minnesota Credit Union Network, and Minnesota State Bar Association, and Department of Public Safety and Driver Vehicle Services. Currently, I'm not aware of any opposition to this bill and would like to thank the committee members for their time and consideration. And with that, I will turn it over to my testifiers to provide a more detailed explanation of the bill.
Thank you, Vice Chair Cagle. Our first testifier is Mr. John Nielsen from the Minnesota Land Title Association. Welcome to the committee. Mr. Nielsen, please state your name for the record.
John Nielsen, I am from the Minnesota Land Title Association, and I think you've gotten a good summary of the bill from the author. Just as we've, as she shared, the process of turning manufactured homes from personal property into real estate, just like any other house that would be built on site, is kind of the subject of this bill. And as was mentioned, that process changed in 2017. This bill is largely designed to fix some pain points or some issues with the 2017 statute. There's fewer changes than the underlying text might suggest, given that the bill is also the statute is reworked a bit to be a bit clearer. And then probably the most notable element is just what the representative noted, that if you have lost your title, or it's been destroyed or become illegible, then you can simply make a written request to DVS as part of that step of this process. Otherwise, I was the one who drafted the text of this bill, so I'm happy to answer any questions that the committee has. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nielsen. We have one more testifier, and then we'll get to member questions if there are any. Our next testifier is Matt Spellman from the Minnesota Realtors.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Spellman, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And for the record, my name is Matt Spellman. I know everybody's on a tight timeline, so I'll be super brief. I'm with the Minnesota Realtors Association. We represent over 21,000 real estate agents that work with buyers and sellers to transfer property all across Minnesota. We want to thank Representative Cagle, as well as all of the other stakeholders for their work on this. It's been a long road, a long 4 months to get to where we are, and I really appreciate John Nielsen's efforts on these because he really is the subject matter expert. I really don't have a whole lot to add. John is, like I said, he is the subject matter expert. He is here to answer any questions for you, but we are in support of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Spellman. Now we'll turn to member questions of the author and or testifiers. Representative Petersburg, you're first up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So my daughter has a trailer in a trailer court. And so there's a lot of things going that are strange about a trailer and its taxing authority and so forth. One of them, of course, is that they pay kind of like property taxes, only it's more like a license tab renewal. And if I remember it, it's kind of like one half is in August and the other one October or something like that. My question is I'm assuming that, first of all, you can't make permanent property to or real estate to somebody else's land. So this would only be for situations in which the individual owns the land and the house itself and puts it in. So a couple of questions in regards to that. So if somebody then buys that property and chooses to sell that trailer off, does that have to go through another reprocessing fee? The second is, how is it handled for abstract of that land. Is it now being attached to that land as part of the abstract or not? And then did we fix anything with aligning the property tax for it? So those are a couple of questions that I have that maybe this bill isn't designed for that and it's in something else, but I was just curious on that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg. I see Mr. Nielsen kind of nodding and very attentive to your question. Mr. Nielsen, did you want to answer that one?
Sure, I'm happy to take that one. And yeah, those are great questions. Yeah, this process would apply to persons who have a manufactured home who've permanently affixed it to the land physically, meaning they put it on a foundation, it's connected to utilities. And this is the process where they could turn that into legally basically a house just like one would be built on site. So it doesn't really apply to the situation where you have a home in a park where you're leasing the land. As to the taxing, the idea is, yes, that if you're even going through this process, it's for a home that is already, like I said, affixed to the property and being taxed as part of the real estate, which, just as the representative noted, is paid twice a year. Yes, if you go through this process to make your home no longer treated like a car, but treated like a house that was built on site, but then later you sold that real estate and wanted to sell the home separately such that it would be taken off, there's a different statute that addresses that process, which was passed not too long ago, and that would let you turn the home back into personal property and get a new title through DVS so that you could transfer it as personal property. So we're not changing anything about that, but there is a process like that in law, and this bill would not impede your ability to do that. Perhaps I've forgotten the third question, but that's the abstract. Gist of what's going on here. Oh, abstracting, that's a great question.
Yeah.
Thank you. So your home starts out titled like a car, like we've said a bunch of times here, and effectively DVS is then keeping track of the ownership through their certificate of title as personal property. So this process, you tell DVS, basically, cancel my title. You guys stop keeping track of this because now it's part of the real estate. And the second step after you've done that with DVS is to record in the county land records an affidavit that says this home is physically attached to the property and I've gone through the process of canceling its ownership records with DVS. So now it's a house just like any other house. So yes, now the records you would search for this home would just be the real estate records like that would show up in an abstract.
Thank you.
Representative Petersburg, did you have a follow-up?
No, thank you. I think that answers it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Nielsen. Representative Koznick.
Thank you, Chair Hornstein. And I wanted to thank Representative Cagle for carrying this bill. It's an important industry that I'm familiar with. My family has had mobile home dealerships for probably close to 40 years now. I used to be just north of Representative Cagle's district off of Central Avenue. It was A1 Homes. Now it's called Affordable Homes, but that's not at that location anymore and a couple different other areas of the state. But we call them manufactured homes because of the way that they're built. And trailer homes, Representative Petersburg, you wouldn't be able to pull this behind your car. But that's just kind of an inside industry thing. But thank you, Representative Cagle, for carrying this second part of the legislation and cleaning up the work that I didn't quite have clear enough, apparently, in 2017. But I am a co-author on this, and I think it's an important piece of legislation for the industry and the homeowners that are affected by this. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Koznick. Let me see if there are other questions here. I don't see any. So, Representative Cagle, do you have any final thoughts to share, a summary statement?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I think this is just, you know, one step that we can take about to address some of the affordable housing options as well. We know that manufactured homes are affordable housing option when they're treated as homes. And so making sure that we can get these these manufactured homes actually treated as houses or, you know, real property or as property is a big step in the right direction. So just want to thank you all and please support my bill. And I will renew my motion to re-refer House File 927 as amended to Judiciary, Finance, and Civil Law Committee.
Thank you very much. We will now take the roll on the motion. Mr. Dodge.
Chair Hornstein?
Aye.
Hornstein, aye. Vice Chair Cagle?
Aye.
Cagle, aye. Representative Petersburg?
Aye.
Petersburg, aye. Representative Barr is excused. Representative Bernardi?
Aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Elkins?
Elkins, aye.
Elkins, aye. Representative Frederick?
Aye.
Frederick, aye. Representative Hausman?
Aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Heinrich?
Aye.
Heinrich, aye. Representative Kosmic?
Kosmic, aye.
Kosmic, aye. Representative Mason?
Aye.
Mason, aye. Representative Murphy?
Murphy, aye.
Murphy, aye. Representative Nelson?
Nelson, aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Richardson?
Aye.
Richardson, aye. Representative Torkelson?
Aye.
Torkelson, aye. Representative West?
Aye.
West, aye. There are 16 ayes and 0 nays.
There being 16 ayes and 0 nays, the motion is adopted, and you're on your way, Representative Cagle, to Judiciary, Finance, and Policy. Thank you very much for the bill. Our next bill on the calendar for today is House File 779. Representative Frederick, welcome. This is, I think, your first bill before our committee, so thank you very much. Congratulations, and we'll be hearing from Representative Olson next week. So our freshmen are getting an opportunity to present their bills, and we're excited about that. Representative Frederick, would you like to move your bill to the general register?
Yes, I would. So moved, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. So we have House File 779 before us. I know you have a testifier or two, but maybe if you can give us just a little summary at the outset, and then we'll move on to your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. House File 779 relates to eminent domain, and the big change on it is saying that people that are making decisions regarding eminent domain should be from Minnesota. Seems pretty straightforward to me. And there's some language on the bottom of the bill, too. It's a short one-pager, which I'm a huge fan of, and some language on the bottom of the bill to also kind of streamline the process. That's it in a nutshell. So I'll turn it over to the testifier.
Great. I think that's very helpful. And we'll our first testifier is John Dukic from MnDOT, the Government Affairs. And we also have Joe Pignato, the director of MnDOT's Office of Land Management. I don't know which one of you wants to testify. Maybe Mr. Pignato and maybe Mr. Dukic for questions, or however you want to do it. We got two MnDOT folks here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. John Dukic with MnDOT Government Affairs. I'm happy to testify, and Mr. Pignato is available for questions should any come up.
Okay, great.
So I'd just like to thank Representative Frederick for authoring this bill for us, and for you, Mr. Chair, for taking some time today to hear it. Representative Frederick did a great job of summarizing the bill, but I can give some more detail. It makes essentially two changes to help streamline the process and reduce delays in appointing condemnation commissioners. The first, as Representative Frederick mentioned, is it requires condemnation commissioners to be residents of Minnesota, and this will help ensure that those commissioners are knowledgeable about Minnesota real estate and real estate values and have a valid Minnesota real estate or attorney license. And this also helps reduce delays related to a commissioner's availability or unavailability, that is, due to travel. And secondly, the bill eliminates the requirement that the judge in a condemnation case inquire about a proposed commissioner's conflict of interest prior to appointing the commissioner. And this is a bit redundant, as the commissioners are already required to sign an oath attesting to the fact that they do not have a conflict of interest in the case. And so, Mr. Chair, that concludes the bill. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Dukic. Any questions of Mr. Dukic or the author at this point? And or discussion to the bill? Scanning the participant list, I don't see any. So, Representative Frederick, do you have any closing thoughts you want to leave us with before we take a vote?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's a pretty straightforward bill. It's pretty simple. Just trying to put people who are going to make decisions about Minnesota be from Minnesota, and making the process be as streamlined as it can be. So I appreciate everyone's support.
I like your succinctness. Representative Frederick, then you can renew your motion then.
I renew my motion for House File 779. To be referred, re-referred?
Re-referred is that exactly, very good.
To the general register.
We had a whole, thank you, Representative Frederick, there was a whole back and forth a couple years ago about how we do that, so now it's re-referred. Members, thank you very much, and we will now proceed to a vote. Mr. Dodge.
Chair Hornstein?
Aye.
Hornstein, aye. Vice Chair Cagle?
Aye.
Cagle, aye. Representative Petersburg?
Aye.
Petersburg, aye. Representative Bernardi?
Aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Elkins?
Elkins, aye.
Elkins, aye. Representative Frederick?
Aye.
Frederick, aye. Representative Hausman?
Aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Heinrich?
Aye.
Heinrich, aye. Representative Kosnick?
Kosnick, aye.
Kosnick, aye. Representative Mason?
Aye.
Mason, aye. Representative Murphy?
Murphy, aye.
Murphy, aye. Representative Nelson?
Nelson, aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Richardson?
Aye.
Richardson, aye. Representative Torkelson?
Aye.
Torkelson, aye. Representative West?
Aye.
West, aye. There are 16 ayes and 0 nays.
There being 16 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is re-referred to the general register. Thank you very much, Representative Frederick. And Representative Frederick, you can stay at the virtual testifying table if we were in room 10, or I think we actually, when we're all together again, we'll meet in the basement, which I'm not wild about, but that's something for later. But you are at the virtual testifying table, and you have our next bill, which is House File 782. So do you want to make a motion on House File 782?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that House File 782 be re-referred to the general register.
Thank you very much. And so I understand you have a couple of authors' amendments, A1 and A4. I think now would be a good time to move those to put them in the shape you'd like.
Move one at a time or together?
Yeah, no, you will move one at a time. So how about we do A1 first?
Mr. Chair, I move that A1 be adopted.
Okay, the motion is to adopt A1, and this is, again, on my understanding, to align the bill with language in the Senate that was adopted in the Senate. Can you let us know what's in the A1 amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The A1 amendment is exactly what you just said. This bill is moving in the Senate, and this just aligns the bill with the language in the Senate.
Okay, good. Is there discussion to the A1? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The motion prevails. The A1 is incorporated. We also have an A4, and similar to what we had with Representative Cagle, this was a little bit late in terms of our 24-hour rule. However, it is a technical and clarifying amendment, and I do believe contact was made with the minority, and it is fine to waive the rule on this one.
It is fine with us, Mr. Chair.
Okay, great. Just want to make sure all of that is on the record, and appreciate that very much, Representative Petersburg, your flexibility. With that, let us know about the A4 amendment. My understanding is it's a technical amendment of sorts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A4 is an amendment that our eagle-eyed House research, we're able to identify some technical changes just to clarify everything that was in the bill. I can't always understand the reason for must or shall and some of that stuff, but they were on point with all of the changes. And so this is some improvements to the bill that they were able to identify. And if Mr. Burris would like to comment on it, he can probably identify some of it better than I could.
I think it would be helpful to have Mr. Burris explain it. And both Representative Petersburg and I both smiled when you talked about the must and shall and all of that. So that was very good, Representative Frederick. Mr. Burris, what does the A4 do exactly?
Mr. Chair and members, the A4 has some technical changes, including the must to shall, a couple other changes that are similar to modernize the language with current drafting practices. And then it also makes a series of changes to clarify who the actors are, who perform some of the steps involved in that inspection, placement, and removal of inspection stickers. And then finally, it also clarifies who within the state patrol is authorized to perform the inspections and take some of the inspection-related steps that would more clearly include some of the non-sworn officers within the state patrol.
Thank you, Mr. Burris. Does anyone have any questions on the A4 and any discussion? Okay, seeing none, then we can adopt the A4 amendment at this time. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed? And the motion carries. So we now have both of your amendments incorporated. Representative Frederick, tell us about the bill as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The House File 782 is updating the inspection criteria for school buses. I mean, who doesn't want our kids to be driving or to be transported in a safe school bus? I mean, that's really the simplicity of this bill. I know that the Department of Public Safety told me how old some of this language was in this bill. I can't recall it off the top of my head, but it was definitely in need of updating. And so what the language does is just kind of align our inspection criteria of school buses to be in line with national standards. And there were two of the major school bus associations that were made aware of it, and they did not express any concerns. And at this point, I would turn it over to DPS.
Thank you very much, Representative Frederick. So we have with us Lieutenant Brian Rue, I believe, I hope I got that right, from the Minnesota State Patrol. Lieutenant, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair. Lieutenant Brian Rue, State Patrol. I oversee the state's Office of Pupil Transportation. Our office has the 15 civilian inspectors that's tasked with conducting annual school buses on each school bus in the state. We also have three other troopers besides myself as well that work for the office. To give you a brief overview and kind of put in context what this bill is doing, there's a National Congress that meets every 5 years typically. 2020 was kind of a change. But they typically meet every 5 years. Each state sends a group of delegates to vote on what the national design standards will be for school buses. In addition to design standards, there's also a section in there for inspection items and what should be considered an out-of-service defect and then how the inspection process should take place. There's also some operational policies. Historically, in Minnesota, we've only adopted the design standard portions of that document. And we had our own set of points that were in rule since at least 1979 that we've used to inspect our school buses. Obviously, there's been some significant advancements with some of the design things with school buses, some of the new technology. So we're trying to update our inspection criteria to that nationally recognized component. One of the significant changes is, for example, in our current system, if a school bus has a fuel leak, that's a 10-point defect. well, we require more than 20 points to down the bus or to put it out of service. So you could have a school bus transporting kids leaking fuel, and we couldn't fail it. With this national specification guidance that we would adopt, a fuel leak automatically fails the bus right there. That defect needs to be corrected before that bus goes back out on the road, which I think, as you'd all agree, should be the case or something to that effect. So it just kind of, it cleans up a lot of that, gets into alignment, like I said, with what would, it is comparable to also what would fail a motor coach or a commercial vehicle going down the road. So we're keeping it in line with that. And then any other defect that we would find that would not fail the bus would still need to be corrected by the school or the bus contractor within the 14 days, but it doesn't mean that they can't use it during that point. So there is still that checks and balance process in place to make sure that, well, they don't just to keep using something that's that has something wrong with it. It's just those critical defects that's deemed to be considered an out of service that would fail it.
Thank you very much, Lieutenant Rue. Are there questions of Lieutenant Rue or the author? Representative Petersburg.
Was that the final testimony hire?
I believe so, Representative Frederick. Is there any additional testifying? Okay, yeah, you can proceed with your question, Representative Petersburg.
Thank you so much. And as Representative Frederick said, this language, some of it is old, needs to be refreshed and updated. I think I'm older than all the language, and once in a while I need to be updated as well. So I understand what that means. I do know that in this language, there are a lot of rulemaking authority that is now being statutorily put in place, and I'm all for that because it's more important for us to vet it out here at the legislature. But could somebody give us just a summary, kind of a brief points on which rules are being eliminated and where they are, what they're about, if that's possible?
Lieutenant Rue.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Petersburg, and members. So currently, the rule 7470, and that's what the A1 was referring to, is repealing those certain rules. The ones that are being repealed are the ones that outline the point system. It outlines the inspection sticker, or the decals that we put on there, and then the point values. All of that is being incorporated into the statute. And the reason that we wanted to do that as well is, when that National Congress meets every 5 years, by us adopting it, it automatically pulls in those new standards without having to go back in to do a rulemaking to change those point values.
Thank you, Lieutenant Rue. Yes, proceed, Representative Petersburg.
Is that the only one that's being changed? I thought there was one or two others, or were they all kind of included in that whole thing?
Lieutenant Rue.
Mr. Chair, Representative Petersburg, and members, there's three, I believe, on the A1 of those, but one of them was just the definition defining what each sticker represents, so your passing sticker, your failing sticker. One of them was outlining how the stickers get affixed. So if you have a defect of more than 20 points, it's a fail. If you have one of more than 5 points, it's a temporary. If you have one of less than 5 points, it's a pass. And then there's another one that was describing what those point values are. And that's all of the rules that are being repealed were specifically related to the inspection process and how those points are assessed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thanks, Representative Petersburg. Any other discussion? Okay, I don't see any. And members, if we want to just hear a summary statement from Representative Frederick, that would be in order. And I just wanted to say one piece, Representative Frederick, before you move to your closing comments, which is, sometimes a bill like this may seem small or, non-controversial. That it's true. There's not a lot of text here, but, a bill like this is actually quite meaningful and quite important. I look at this as closing some loopholes in school bus safety. And I think the example that Lieutenant Rue gave was really instructive. So something like this can save lives. It's important. And I appreciate your bringing it forward, Representative Frederick. Any closing thoughts from you?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't think I could say it much better than that. It may not be a big bill, but literally we're talking about the kids in our communities. And that makes it a really, really, really big deal. And I think that the purpose behind this bill is just to ensure, takes as many steps as we can to ensure their safety. So I just want to say thanks, everybody, for supporting.
And thanks for bringing it forward, Representative Frederick. With that, we are ready to vote, but we want the motion renewed. Representative Frederick, do you have a renewal of your motion to send House File 782 along?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I move to re-refer House File 782 as amended to the General Register.
Very good. Thank you very much, Representative Frederick. And with that, we will take the roll, Mr. Dodge.
Chair Weinstein?
Aye.
Weinstein, aye. Vice Chair Cagle?
Aye.
Cagle, aye. Representative Petersburg?
Aye.
Petersburg, aye. Representative Bernardi?
Aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Elkins?
Elkins, aye.
Elkins, aye. Representative Frederick?
Aye.
Frederick, aye. Representative Houseman?
Aye.
Houseman, aye. Representative Heinrich?
Aye.
Heinrich, aye. Representative Kosnick?
Aye.
Kosnick, aye. Representative Mason?
Aye.
Mason, aye. Representative Murphy?
Murphy, aye.
Murphy, aye. Representative Nelson?
Nelson, aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Richardson? Representative Richardson?
Aye.
Richardson, aye. Representative Torkelson?
Aye.
Torkelson, aye. Representative West?
Aye.
West, aye. There are 16 ayes and 0 nays.
There being 16 ayes and 0 nays, the motion prevails, and you're on your way to the General Register. Wait, 2 for 2 today, Representative Frederick. Way to go. All right, members. Our next bill on the agenda, I don't know if we have the author. I know everyone is sort of shuttling between.
I'm here.
Oh, you are? Great. You made it in time. You ran up or down the stairs of the state office building. Yeah. I don't know if other members, sometimes we're in these situations that kind of picture us in the SOB, but if we were all together, you would have been hustling from your other committee here. And we're very excited to have you, Representative Hollins, and the Transportation Committee, I believe, for the first time. So a warm Transportation Committee welcome. And I believe your bill has not been filed yet, so we're hearing this on an informational basis, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. Well, it's an important bill, and I look forward to, when it's formally introduced, us acting on it. But let's hear about the bill, and I know you have some testifiers, including, I believe, our first testifier from overseas, all the way from Jerusalem. So this is a first for the Transportation Committee. And Representative Hollins, please tell us about your legislation dealing with Foreign Service Officers ID extensions.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair, and thank you, committee members. It is my first time in Transportation Committee, so I owe you all donuts or treats of some sort. Apologies that I can't give them to you in person. This legislation really comes out of a constituent of mine who is the one who is currently in Jerusalem. So although I represent a district in St. Paul, she did reach out to me about this particular issue. In short, she is a Foreign Service Officer, and if you don't know what Foreign Service Officers do, they represent the government and the people of the United States by conducting relations with foreign countries and international organizations. And so the majority of the time they spend overseas. They come back periodically to reestablish, their home space in the United States. However, they don't necessarily get to choose where they end up. when they get back to the United States. So although these individuals are, legal residents, they consider their permanent residents to be in the state of Minnesota. They pay taxes for the state of Minnesota. They own homes in the state of Minnesota. They are not, they might not always have a Minnesota driver's license. And so really what this bill is about is trying to carve out expand, I suppose, the exception for renewal for foreign service officers for their driver's licenses in the state of Minnesota. This situation is further compounded because while, as I mentioned, they don't get to choose where they return to the United States to, so a lot of times they are returned to Washington, D.C., and or somewhere else on the East Coast, where they stay for just a couple of months before returning back overseas. When they go to places like Washington, D.C., they have some pretty strict rules about needing to have a driver's license from that particular state before, in order to drive there, and they have to do that turnover fairly quickly. And so we have Foreign Service officers who are Minnesota residents who end up with Washington, D.C. licenses. And even now with the COVID exceptions, they are expected to somehow come to Minnesota to take a physical driving test. This has a number of complications. First of all, because they need a valid driver's license when they're overseas to be able to drive in Jerusalem or wherever they're stationed. And it also poses difficulties right now in particular, but also just in general, because, you know, flying back to the United States is not an easy task. And right now, the airports are closed in Jerusalem, so there's not access to fly back to the United States. So this is a really interesting situation. I think there's already an exception for military personnel, people who are in active military duty, although it does not extend to foreign service officers. And so what we're looking to do is really just expand that legislation and hopefully carve out a space for them to have the same exception applied to them. I do have two testifiers here today. One is Ms. Lee, who is my constituent and also is a Foreign Service officer. And the other one I'm asking is health researcher Matt Burris to walk us through the actual language. I think it would make sense to have Matt go first, if that's okay with you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Hollins. Yes, let's have Mr. Burris walk through the bill for us. And thank you for bringing this forward. It sounds like you are filling an important void in our the way we address issues of foreign service officers. So, Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair and members, I'll be walking through the bill draft that has the ID in the upper right corner of MB040. The first section establishes a process for remote application and issuance of driver's licenses or reinstatement of driver's licenses. So by remote, it could be online or other means. And it authorizes this for foreign service officers or other employees of a federal agency who's assigned a foreign service outside the U.S., as well as spouses, domestic partners, and children and dependents up to age 26. And it lays out a set of requirements to obtain the license. Section 1 also contains some modifications on what the requirements in order to get the license, but also it removes requirements for the knowledge exam, road exam, and getting an updated photograph as part of this process. Then Section 2 contains a conforming change, and then Section 3 has an expansion of the current driver's license expiration extension provision that is for military personnel, so that it would also include foreign service officers and their family members as part of that extension of the expiration of an existing license. It would again apply to family members and some children. And I can go into further detail if there are other questions on aspects of the language.
Thank you very much, Mr. Burris. Are there any questions to Mr. Burris about any of the contents of the bill? Okay, seeing none, Representative Holland, should we continue with the testifier?
Yes, please. My next testifier is Ms. Lee, who is hopefully here. She's coming.
Yeah,
coming
I see her. From Jersey. I see her.
Fantastic.
Yeah, well, Ms. Lee, welcome to the committee. And again, thank you for your service. I lived in Jerusalem many years ago for a little bit, so I'll greet you in Hebrew and Arabic. Baruchim Habaim, Ahlan Vesahlan, and welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair Hornstein. Good afternoon, everyone. Madam Vice Chair Kegel, Representative Athena Hollins, and members of the committee. Thank you very much for giving me the chance to speak with you today. My name is Bao Lee, and as you heard, I'm a U.S. Foreign Service officer from St. Paul. As somebody who's in the U.S. Diplomatic Corps, I'm currently serving overseas. Right now, I'm talking to you from Jerusalem. It's nearly midnight here in Israel. I'm here to express my support for this bill. It would, among other things, provide an online driver's license renewal process for us, for Minnesotans. It will also provide the extension that you heard about, the extension of that license expiration date for all U.S. federal employees who are working overseas. In addition to these employees' spouse or their domestic partner and for their minor children. You might know that U.S. Foreign Service officers and their families serve at more than 270 U.S. embassies and consulates overseas, and Foreign Service officers typically spend the majority of their careers, about two-thirds of their careers, overseas. I myself have served in numerous locations. I've served in Sierra Leone. There was an Ebola outbreak while I was there. I've also served in Thailand when there was an explosive device that was detonated just blocks from the U.S. Embassy in Bangkok and from where I was living. Most recently, I was serving in Washington, D.C., and there I worked on humanitarian affairs for Yemen, and I also worked on commercial and trade issues between the United States and the Gulf region. I want to say all of this work has been, and it continues to be, an enormous privilege. I'm proud every day to be able to protect the American people and to protect American interests through my job. I think that being a Foreign Service officer, however, does present some challenges. Even something as simple and as a routine as renewing our driver's license can become something that is insurmountable. You know, we might be facing security situations where we're serving. We might be experiencing a medical evacuation, or there could be a worldwide pandemic that closes our international airports and shuts borders. All of these things will prevent us from returning to Minnesota. I think that some of these things could be made easier if members of the Foreign Service were treated and recognized in Minnesota state law in the same way as we treat members of our esteemed U.S. military. Some states already do this. States such as California, Virginia, and Maryland already provide some kind of exception for Foreign Service officers so that we could renew our licenses from overseas. And as you know, American diplomats bravely work alongside their Department of Defense colleagues, and oftentimes in the same dangerous locations, such as Iraq or Pakistan or Afghanistan. And as you heard, we need our driver's licenses in order to drive overseas. This is a necessity that is made even more crucial if we are serving in a country, in a location where we are not allowed to take public transportation because it's simply not safe for U.S. Foreign Service officers to do that. 3 years ago, I began my assignment in Washington, D.C., and I also lived there during that tour. The law in D.C. is one that requires anybody who resides there for more than 30 days to obtain a D.C. license. So if you have an out-of-state driver's license, you need to change that into a D.C. one. Well, understandably, I followed the law and I got a DC license. Last year during the pandemic, I was getting ready to come here to Israel. So I wanted to switch my DC license back to Minnesota, but I ran into some problems doing that. One, obviously the pandemic had happened, making travel very difficult. The other point, I ran out of time. I had a really small window in which I could get here to report to work in Israel. And then there was that issue of Minnesota law. And that's because Minnesota law currently says that anyone that has a non-Minnesota driver's license needs to take the knowledge exam in person. There's no way that you can do this online or through some other means. And this was, there was no exception for me, even though I had had a valid and unexpired Minnesota driver's license before I was required to convert that into that Washington, D.C. driver's license. So setting aside the resulting frustration that caused, the situation is also very heartbreaking for me as a Minnesotan. Minnesota is where I grew up, after all. It's where I went to school and the University of Minnesota. It's where I own a home. It's where I vote. It's where I've paid taxes. And when we serve overseas, this little card doesn't just give us driving privileges. For me personally, it's also something tangible that I can have that is a reminder that no matter where in the world I am serving, that I'm still a Minnesotan. So your support of this bill will go a long way towards showing me that my home state respects, values, and remembers my sacrifices and my contributions to this country. I also want to just take this time to emphasize how important it is that we not forget about U.S. Foreign Service officers when legislators are crafting and considering legislation. I am very proud to be a Minnesotan, and I'm glad to see that Minnesota's domicile laws have enabled me to still call it home while I am serving elsewhere. In every country where I have served, I've been able to experience some kind of Minnesota state connection. For example, I've issued visas to unite families in Minnesota or to allow an international student to come study in Minnesota at one of our fine institutions of higher education. I've been able to promote companies and goods from Minnesota. I even go a step further. I often ship Minnesota wild rice and boxes upon boxes of Green Angel mint bars from Abdallah Candies and Egan to every post where I've served. And this is really just my way of introducing foreigners to Minnesota. It's also been a way for me to introduce Americans, my American colleagues from around the United States, to our great state of Minnesota. I also think it's important to remember that diplomatic spouses and domestic partners, as well as our children, make similar sacrifices as they accompany our service, and they should be included as well in any legislation. So I truly urge your full support of this bill. I want to thank Representative Hollins for her leadership and for her support on this issue, and I want to thank all of you for your time this afternoon. And I'll be here if there's any questions. Thank you.
Sure, and thank you so much for your service and for bringing this issue to our attention. I'm sure you're not the only Minnesotan that is experiencing this challenge. And we have such a long history of wonderful Minnesotans in the Foreign Service, and the ambassador level all the way to the military and all the different roles and facets that Foreign Service takes on. Okay, members, do you have any questions of either the author, Representative Hollins, or Ms. Lee? We also have, I believe, Ms. Fassbender from DPS is also here. If there are questions related to the role that they play. Representative Mason.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just wanted to thank Ms. Lee for... How you know, to be able to send wild rice and candy from Abdullah's. I mean, I think that is fantastic. Thank you very much.
Ms. Lee, Representative Mason is from Eagan. Anything else, Representative Mason?
Nope, that was it.
Okay. All right. Any other questions or comments? Okay. Well, Representative Hollins, thank you so much. You know, when we get the bill referred to our committee, if there's additional questions, we can hear them at that time. And
I know one thing. I'm sorry.
Yes, go ahead, Representative Hollins.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt, Mr. Chair.
Just wrapping up and asking if you had any final comments.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Well, I wanted to make sure I neglected to mention that I'm actually working on this bill with Representative Raleigh. So it does have bipartisan support because he also has some Foreign Service officers in his district who have reached out to him about this particular issue. And so and he and I are really excited to have an opportunity to work together across the aisle on an issue that's so important and so necessary. But it's also just kind of fun because we get to meet these really amazing people who, are living the lives that I sometimes wish I was living. And so I would urge your support. I don't think this is terribly controversial, but it does have a huge impact on our Foreign Service officers who are working overseas. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And again, Ms. Lee, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your service. Very, very important part of the world. And we appreciate, again, your joining us so late. You have tomorrow off, so I assume. So I wish you a good rest. With that, members, we will, this bill is for informational services only, so there's no formal motion, no, not even laying it over. We're going to consider it once it's formally introduced, and hopefully that'll be in the next week or so. So, again, thanks, Ms. Lee, and thank you, Representative Hollins.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to turn over the virtual gavel to the vice chair at this point. Members, we have a couple more bills today, and we will get to those now.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Would you like to move House File 1682 to the Ways and Means Committee?
So moved, Madam Chair. I would like to have House File 1682 re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Thank you. Please tell us about your bill.
Okay, members, House File 1682 is the MnDOT Aeronautics funding bill. I'm carrying this bill with Senator Newman, the chair of the transportation bill in the Senate. And basically, it just keeps the funding at its base level. So the bill is very much the status quo on aeronautics funding. And so it does contain, the current funding base for the MnDOT Aeronautics program. That includes airport development and assistance, aviation support and services, the Civil Air Patrol. Representative Petersburg has a wonderful notation on his wall, framed Civil Air Patrol membership. I don't know if he's in his Civil Air Patrol office now, but many of you have been part of that. This bill could be a vehicle for future legislation out of this committee. I thought I would disclose that as well. Oh, Representative Petersburg, I don't think you're in your Civil Air Patrol office.
Representative Petersburg?
No, I'm not, but I could change the background so it looks like it.
Yeah.
I'm down in my basement down in Waseca. Inquiring if anybody can recollect me, did outstate airports get any funding in this last stimulus from Washington, D.C.? Does anybody know that?
I think it's Mr. Dukic here. Thank you, Madam Chair. We have either Mr. Dukic or someone from MnDOT Aeronautics might be able to answer that.
I see Mr. Dukic is still in the meeting.
Yes, Mr. Chair. John Dukic again with MnDOT Government Affairs. I can check on the exact numbers, but I believe there was some funding. But
yes, there was.
You on that.
Yes, there was.
Representative Murphy, do you know?
I know there was, but I don't know how much. At least I think there was.
That was, Madam Chair.
Representative Petersburg.
Yeah, that was my understanding too. I don't think it was much to the greater Minnesota airports, but I think there was some to MAC. Metropolitan Airports Commission because of their size. But I was trying to recollect, and I thought maybe somebody might know. Thank you, Mr. Chair and Madam Chair.
Are there any other questions? Seeing none, Mr. Chair, would you like to renew your motion?
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair, and I will renew my motion that House File 1682 be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Mr. Dodge, can you please take the roll?
Chair Cagle?
Aye.
Cagle, aye. Representative Hornstein?
Aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Petersburg?
Aye.
Petersburg, aye. Representative Bernardi? Bernardi, aye. Representative Elkins?
Aye.
Elkins, aye. Representative Frederick?
Aye.
Frederick, aye. Representative Hausman?
Aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Heinrich?
Aye.
Heinrich, aye. Representative Kosmic?
Aye.
Kosmic, aye. Representative Mason?
Aye.
Mason, aye. Representative Murphy?
Aye. Murphy, aye.
Murphy, aye. Representative Nelson?
Nelson, aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Richardson?
Aye.
Richardson, aye. Representative Torkelson?
Aye.
Torkelson, aye. Representative West?
Aye.
West, aye. There are 16 ayes and 0 nays.
And with that, the motion prevails. So thank you. And then on to your next bill, Mr. Chair, House File 1683. Would you like to move House File 1683 to the General Register?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I move that House File 1683 be re-referred to the General Register.
All right. Would you please tell us about your bill?
So this is a bill that just updates and corrects some cross references in statute. You know, there are several areas that are under the Transportation Committee's jurisdiction. And again, I'm offering this bill with Senator Newman. And I joked with Mr. Burris that I had to check with the legislative committee or the National Legislative Association on Technical Corrections, and they seem to approve this. You never know. People oppose things. I don't know, Representative Torkelson. You know, there's all these groups out there, but that one doesn't exist, fortunately, not that I know of. So no controversy with this, but I'm happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions from the committee? Seeing none, would you like to renew your motion, Mr. Chair?
I renew my motion that House File 1683 be re-referred to the General Register.
Thank you. Mr. Dodge, will you please take the roll?
Chair Cagle?
Aye.
Cagle, aye. Representative Hornstein?
Aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Petersburg?
Aye.
Petersburg, aye. Representative Bernardi?
Aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Elkins?
Elkins, aye.
Elkins, aye. Representative Frederick?
Aye.
Frederick, aye. Representative Hausman?
Aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Heinrich?
Aye.
Heinrich, aye. Representative Kosmic?
Aye.
Kosmic, aye. Representative Mason?
Aye.
Mason, aye. Representative Murphy?
Murphy, aye.
Murphy, aye. Representative Nelson?
Nelson, aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Richardson?
Aye.
Richardson, aye. Representative Torkelson?
Aye.
Torkelson, aye. Representative West?
Aye.
West, aye. There are 16 ayes and 0 nays.
There being 16 ayes and 0 nays, the motion prevails. Thank you, members. I will now hand the virtual gavel back to Chair Hornstein.
Thank you, Vice Chair Cagle. And members, that concludes our business for the day. Just a reminder that we'll be meeting. Oh, Representative Torkelson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. After that last bill, I really wanted to say something about a cross-reference, but I didn't want to sound mean.
Okay, well, I'm glad we were able to get that bill through without a lot of controversy. members, I want to just remind folks that we have our next meeting at our usually scheduled time. This will be on Tuesday, March 16th. And we are going to be picking up the pace a bit next week and the week after in terms of bills. We'll be hearing a combination of policy and starting to hear some finance bills, as I mentioned yesterday, bills that we will be laying over for possible inclusion in the finance bill. I'd like to hear as many of those proposals as possible before we put the bill together. And so one of the topic areas for next week will be to hear Representative Lippert and Representative Olson's ideas on funding for small cities and townships, which has been kind of an ongoing issue that I hope this year we can really make even more progress on than we've made in the past. So that's one of the topics. And then a lot of different bills that were referred to this committee very late last week or very late this week. We'll be also hearing Representative Petersburg's finance bill the week after that. So a lot of things on the agenda coming up. And so we've scheduled some extra time both Tuesday and Thursday evening. And we'll advise you, of course, in advance if we'll be needing to use that time. But a busy week coming up next week. So get some rest this weekend. Enjoy the beautiful weather. And with that, we are adjourned.